So, whose life is considered most important to God? Of all the people next to Jesus Christ, whose life is so important to God, He writes more about them than anybody else? Whose life is the most recorded, the most analyzed, the most detailed, and most examined life next to Jesus Christ in the whole Bible? Well, let's go to Acts 13, and we'll meet them, okay? Acts 13, now back up. We're backing through the Bible. You're in the end. And back up to just past the beginning of the New Testament, the fifth book, the book of Acts, chapter 13. Because when God chose to write more about one single person, the most written about single person in the whole history of the world, as far as God's concerned in the Bible, it's the young man that we're going to find in Acts 13 and verse 22. And this is right in the middle. We're picking up in the middle of the Apostle Paul's sermon, and he's preaching along. And in verse 22, he gives us a divinely ordained little biographical sketch. And this is what he says, Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, that's King Saul, he raised up for them, and here's the most recorded person in the Bible, David, there he is, as king. To whom also, now look at this, he gave testimony. God stands up, as it were, in court and testifies. He said, like, to Your Honor, you know, I mean, you know, like when I was little, we used to always watch Perry Mason, you know, and all. The more I look back on life, every Perry Mason show was exactly the same. Mystery, Perry Mason got it, it seems bad, and all of a sudden at the end, at the last minute, someone runs through the back door and they're the prime witness and this case is solved. I could have written that script. Life is a little more complicated than that nowadays. But look at God's testimony. When God comes in and testifies in a life, He gave testimony and said, here's God's intense analysis of this servant named David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, listen to this, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. God-heartedness, after God's heart, means doing His will. When someone does your will, they serve you. David was God-hearted, doing all of God's will because he was God's servant. So this morning, David's spiritual secret, that's what I'm calling this examination this morning. What was David's spiritual secret? Why is he the most talked about man in the Bible? Why did God say he's after my own heart? His God-heartedness is most evidenced in what it says right here. He did all my will. Now, what does someone look like that's God-hearted? It's a whole new way of looking at life. Listen to what Paul continues. Look at verse 36, same chapter. Now, I have to turn the page here, Acts 13, 36. Because what will a God-hearted, doing the will of God person do in their lives? What will their life pan out to be? What is the bottom line? Well, Paul continues and he says this, verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Now that I'm reading just then, I reverted from the New King James to the NIV because the NIV captures a little word that's in there that's a very big word. But it's just that word served. When David had served God's purposes for his own generation, what was the sum of David's life? God put him on earth. And God's eyes searched to and fro throughout the earth and found David, whose heart was completely toward him. And David was so God-hearted that David served God's purposes in his generation. Now, you and I are in this generation. Some of us are well toward the end of this generation. Some of you are just starting out in this generation. But you're in a generation. You're in a period of time you're going to live on this planet. Do you know what matters to God? Are you going to be His servant in the generation He put you in? It's real simple. You know why it's so important? Because that's what we're going to be doing forever. We're going to be serving Him forever. And so we ought to be vitally concerned that we're doing it now. Because you won't be a servant in the future if you're not one. Now is what He's trying to get across to us. David was God-hearted, which means he served God's purposes, verse 36 says. The word served is the verb form. The word is in Greek, hupareteo, of that very, very beautiful word, under rower, that I've talked to you a lot about, huperetes, the lowest deck rower on a trireme, a Roman galley slave ship. We've often studied the model of how to serve the Lord from that passage. Paul says, if you want to know what I'm like, I'm an under rower. I'm a bond servant on the bottom deck for Christ. So David was under God's command. He was this hupareteo, this servant. And he looked at life as going through life totally under God's command. God says go, he went. God says do this, he did it. God says say that, he said it. God says worship me, he did it. He was God's servant. It's interesting, here in Acts, in the New Covenant, after the cross, it's so interesting how David's described. It says that he did all my will, verse 22. He served my purpose. Doesn't say anything else. Doesn't say except for Bathsheba, except for the numbering of the people, except for being a man of blood. Isn't it interesting how God looks at his life after he's got him home, after he's got him in his presence? He sees him with all the sins stripped away, and what rises up, the cream of his life, was his heart's desire to serve God. David was under God's command. David did what the Lord asked him to do. David willingly was unseen and obscure. David was always wanting the Lord to get all the glory. A simpler way to say that is, David was God's servant all of his days. It's no wonder that Paul uses the very same concept in 1 Corinthians 4:1 to describe his own life and ministry. Well, now let's turn to the Old Testament. 1 Kings, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, there it is. It's kind of in the first third or quarter of the Bible, 1st Kings 15. And we're backing up through the Bible, and we're going to end up a little before this, so keep going with us. 1st Kings 15 and verse 5. I love this. Another summary. Another God distillation of a life. Okay, 1st Kings 15, verse 5. Listen to this. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Doesn't stop there. And had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Wow. David, verse 5 says, David, summarized by God, it says, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and David had not turned aside from anything he was commanded him all the days of his life. What a good servant. Wow. Can you imagine God saying that? You know, we hear that little, well done, good and faithful servant, that we all often say that's what we want to hear when we get to heaven from God, is to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, here's him saying it. And so the most talked about man in the Bible, there are more than 141 chapters devoted to the life of David. And that's why the rest of verse 5 is in there, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, that's an interesting way of putting it. I thought the problem was with Bathsheba. I thought it was David's adultery that God would, you know, point out. But God, and we'll examine this later, God really was saying that David always did his will except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Well, the comforting thing about that is David was imperfect and he still served God all of his days with all of his heart. He still fulfilled God's purposes, even though he failed in a huge way. David is such a great example for us.